So there's this man and he's traveling across the desert when he runs out of water. Luckily, he sees a man coming towards him on a camel, to whom he says, "I'm thirsty, have you got any water?" The man on the camel says, "No, I haven't, but I have a wonderful selection of beautiful neckties. Would you like to buy one?" And the man says, "No, of course not." And he watches sadly as the other man rides away on his camel. About an hour or two later, desperately thirsty, the man sees a beautiful 5-star hotel, and he drags himself up the steps crying, "Water, water." The hotel manager goes out over and stops the man, saying, "I'm sorry, sir, you can't come in here without a tie." Now, that man in this silly story could not have known that he would need to be dressed in a certain way in order to get water and quench his thirst. But there is something he could have done something about to save his life. With the right attitude, he could have asked some questions about why the man was selling ties in the desert. Is there water up ahead where you just came from? He could also have shared his dire situation and asked for any help that the man might give. Of course, then the joke would be lost. But physical life and death is not a joke, is it? Neither is our spiritual life. Even if we are not physically thirsty, today our spiritual lives are at risk. As a culture, there are powerful forces out there trying to sell us something that has no power to save us from the death of our souls. We are being offered countless things to make us look good, feel good, and in other ways. The world feels very dangerous right now, doesn't it? Since we were last together here as a community worshiping God, something has changed drastically. Most of us are feeling vulnerable in a way that we weren't even just a week ago. People have been buying up water to store for having to be isolated or for whatever might happen. And that makes sense. As in today's readings, water is life. People all over the world are also buying up toilet paper. That I'm having a lot more trouble understanding. This kind of panicking is a reminder that when faced with a legitimate crisis, as we are with the coronavirus or COVID-19, today you and I and everyone else, together we are faced with a test of faith. Is this whole thing a conspiracy? It's not really the right question. Is it a divine retribution for the evil in the world? Maybe, but that's really not a useful question either. Am I doing everything I can to keep me and my loved ones safe? That's a better question, and one that we should respond to by doing everything we can to respond to the threat. But the most important question might not get asked at all. Our health authorities won't ask it. God bless them for what they are working hard to do on our behalf. In a public bathroom recently, the lineup was 3 deep to wash my hands, so that message is getting through. But the health authorities won't provide the list of things to keep our souls safe. Our politicians and many other leaders in our culture, they aren't really helping us answer the most important question. What is that question? Will you put your trust in God, who has made us for the specific purpose of true peace and joy in the middle of the hard circumstances of life and for an eternity of praising him? When we look back at the story of salvation, God confronted Adam in the garden after they had disobeyed the one commandment he gave them, and Adam said, "I was afraid, so I hid myself." We're all afraid to some degree or other, but hiding ourselves from God will lead to death, even if we manage to have enough water and toilet paper in this life. Every organization we deal with is assuring us that we can trust them to do everything in their power to make sure that we are safe. And that's nice. That's reassuring. It's genuinely good, and I'm glad they're doing that, sending out those emails. We are really seeing the signs of pulling together as a society to beat this thing. But the question in particular, challenging circumstances we are facing together today, is will we turn to the God who has given us these lives we are trying desperately to protect, who wants to be in relationship with us as his beloved sons and daughters? Will we trust God? Jesus reminds us in the Gospels, "It will give you no profit if you gain the whole world but lose your very souls." The people of Israel felt vulnerable, didn't they? They were thirsty. The desert wilderness is a place of thirsting. And it was so intense for them that it seemed worse than the slavery that they had just come from. They were used to slavery. They weren't used to the freedom that God had given them. They turned against God. They turned their anger on Moses, who represented God to them. You have brought us out here to kill us with thirst. It says the children of Israel tested the Lord. Is the Lord among us or not? And we might ask the same question. Where is God in all of this? Is the Lord among us or not? God tells Moses that he will be there at the rock that he is to strike to bring water to the people. Interestingly, this is the beginning of their 40 years in the desert. During Jesus' 40 days in the desert, Satan said to him three times, "If you are the Son of God." So the temptation that the people fall prey to, probably inspired by Satan, is the same one that Satan used against Jesus. Prove how great you are. Jesus sent the disciples away so that he could be alone. The woman came to the well. She was alone. They talked. She asked some questions. He invited her to look up from her limited perspective, and she gradually did that with him in that conversation. He challenged her, and she accepted the challenge. And by the end of their interaction, she became the one introducing other people to Jesus Christ. Jesus wants to be alone with them as well, as he wants to be alone with us. He wants to be alone with you and me. The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ." And Jesus answered her, "I am he, the one who is speaking with you." And then what happened? She left her water jar there and went back to the city. And the people there listened to her, and they asked Jesus to stay with them. And many more believed because of his testimony. So while we are all anxious about illness, this is the absolute perfect time to turn to God and say, "I love you. I need you in my life. I give all my anxiety to you. I offer this part of my life to you. Come to me and quench my thirst for true life." And Jesus says to us, if you know the gift of God and who it is that is asking, you would ask him and he would give you living water. So this is our invitation today to ask that question. It's a big jump from the concerns of the natural world to the supernatural, from what is temporary to what is eternal, from the physical to the spiritual, from the lower to the higher. And Jesus Christ is asking us to look up today. The one who drinks the water I will give, he says, will never be thirsty again. It will become a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. After the encounter with Jesus, sometimes later, she is so transformed that she converts her town, and they come to believe. Later on in the Gospels, Jesus will say, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Later still, Jesus will cry out from the cross, "I thirst." The God of the universe, made man, experiences the worst of thirst. He knows our experience. He knows that we thirst for water for our bodies. And he wants to have us to have that. But much more, he is offering us the water that will be a spring within our own souls, gushing up to eternal life. So the question, is the Lord with us? God tells the people of Israel, "I will be standing there in front of you on the rock." The psalmist reminds us today, he is our God and we are the people of his pasture. Paul explains to the Romans, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And John in his gospel says, in Jesus' words, "I am he, the Messiah, the one who is speaking to you." Today, Jesus is waiting by the well for us to come by with our worldly concerns. Jesus is speaking to you and I today. Will you drink the living water that he is offering you? Come to Jesus. Come to the water. This Lent is one more opportunity for us to recognize our God, to worship him, even in the wilderness of our lives, even in our anxiety. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker today, for he is our God and we are his people. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice. Do not harden your hearts against his voice. Jesus is sitting by himself at the well. He's opening the conversation that he wants to have with each of us. Jesus needed water, of course, like everyone, but he didn't come to become one of our nature for water. He came for us. He is thirsty for us. Will you go and be alone with him?